Amen. All right, so I'm coming to you today out of Isaiah chapter 53, which is absolutely one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. It just amazes me that a man in the Old Testament, 1,500 years before Christ, could write this chapter and get it so right. Isn't that amazing? I mean, he tells us so much in this chapter, and I'm not going to be able to cover, I'm really not even going to cover the chapter. There's actually one line that, as I was reading this week, there's one line that just penetrated my heart, and I thought, oh, I've got to talk to you about that. So Isaiah chapter 53, if you'll look down to verse 8, we'll just read three verses, 8 through 11. But I would encourage you to read this chapter, not as I preach, please, but today sometime, open it up and read it. Verse 8 says, he was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? And that's the line that penetrated my heart. Who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, isn't that precious? The soul of Jesus was an offering. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Folks, can you say, I'm so thankful that I'm one of those that he bore my iniquities. Amen. He paid your price. Get it? The price for your sin, Jesus paid. And Isaiah talked about it 1,500 years before it ever happened. Amazes me. Father God, we come before you today. We're so thankful to be in your house. Father, I believe that you have put a message on my heart to speak that is burning inside of me. And I just pray, God, that you would, that it would find fertile ground. And God, that there would be some change today that would come about because of the word of the Lord. I pray, Lord, that we would be woke up a little bit today to what is happening during this time. God, there's probably every person in this building believes that you're coming very soon. But let us not miss an opportunity or a moment, Father, when we can be used by the Spirit of God to do exactly what you've called us to do. So, Lord, I am praying almost to the point of begging today that you would use me as your servant to speak to these servants so that the Spirit of God would penetrate their heart with the seed of the Word of God that would bear fruit in their lives. So, Lord, I pray, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So who will declare his generation? Isn't it funny when you read the Word of God, one little phrase will just bam. I mean, it's just like the Spirit of God says, wake up, boy, you need to catch this one. Who will declare his generation? See, I believe that that's our calling. I believe the calling of the church, I've titled this, The Church Triumphant. Had no idea that Treva was going to talk about that. As she was, I'm pretty sure she got my Bible out today and looked at my notes, and then she got all my verses and began to quote them. She was quoting 2 Corinthians 2:4. It says, now thanks be to God who always leads us to triumph. Do you realize the church is called to be triumphant? Do you realize how bad we talk about the church? We criticize the church all the time, and I will tell you, I am guilty. But I want you to know today, the church is the best thing going in this earth. It is the best thing, and God will redeem His people by the church. Now, it's the Holy Spirit in us, right? It's not about us. It's about Him in us. But the church is not these four walls. The church is not Assembly of God. I'll say that again if I don't get an amen. The church is not Assembly of God. It's not Baptist, it's not Presbyterian, it's not Lutheran. The church is the church. It's the people of God, the ecclesia, the called out ones. So you are the church. You are to declare His generation. What is the mission of God? I think all of us know this first part that I'm going to share with you. Luke 19:10 says, Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. That is to be our mission also. If He came to seek and to save the lost, then that ought to be your mission. Your mission ought to be to find a lost person and begin to pour your life into them. Show them how beautiful Jesus is. And I promise you, He is beautiful. To a dying person, Jesus is wonderful. To someone in their sin, Jesus is great. I'm sorry, but sometimes we just forget, don't we? You've been saved so long that you forgot who you were. Come on, folks. We were dead in our trespasses and sin, but God. God has done a work in each one of you. I don't think we ought to live remembering the past, but I also think don't forget what He's done. Don't forget that He dug you out of the pit, put you on a solid rock, redeemed your life, hallelujah, bought you back. Thank you, Jesus. We all get that one. But then I read this in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. Says, he who sins is of the devil. Now that's talking about practicing sin. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. Now listen to this next line. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah. Now if I apply this principle to the first point, I want to apply it to the second point. Let's be consistent. If I said to you just a minute ago, and you amen me, two of you did, that was pretty good for this church. He came to seek and to save that which was lost, and you said amen. We believe that one. But now I've told you something different. His purpose was that He might destroy the works of the devil. Amen. If that was His purpose, that ought to be my purpose. Push back the darkness, but we are not. We are allowing the darkness to overtake us. Shame on us. We better wake up. We better stir ourselves just a little bit. Because we have a job to do. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says we are His ambassadors. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. This is the first generation that the church is decreasing and not increasing. It's the first generation that we are losing our young people. That ought to make you stir yourself just a bit. Do you realize that we are one generation from extinction? God empowers us by the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and to the very ends of the earth. And for years I've taught this, that God empowers us to be a witness. I miss something very basic in the English language. It's called a semicolon. He says, you will receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, semicolon. Next thought. And you'll be my witnesses. There is not one point to this verse. There are two points to this verse. You are going to be my witnesses, but you are going to receive power. Dunamis is the word in the Greek. We get our word dynamite from it. I don't know about you, but do you feel like a little dynamite in here? You know I do. I'm just about to explode right now. I tell you, I told you last week that when you got saved, you got spirit filled. But you are not baptized in the Holy Spirit. And you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit to receive power. The dunamis of God. You know, Satan is so slick that he knew this. He said, what can I do to stop this? Well, what if I just convince the church that the baptism of the Holy Spirit stopped with the apostles? Woo, that ought to do it, hadn't it? You realize that's what he did? Do you realize how many denominations have taught for years that that stopped with the apostles? Because of one verse in 1 Corinthians that they did not interpret correctly. Because it says, when knowledge stops, you ask anyone, do you think knowledge has ceased? They'll say, no, knowledge is increasing every generation. It is. New inventions, new things that we're learning. Then why would you think that the Spirit of God would stop? That the baptism with the evidence of speaking in tongues. I know some of you hear that and you go, whoa, don't get too Pentecostal on me, brother. I'm going to tell you, you need the power of God. We don't understand just us being us filled with the Spirit of God. Push back the enemy. The fact that you are a Christian pushes back darkness. I want to read a verse to you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 through 7. He says, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day, he's talking about the rapture of the church, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed. The son of perdition, I believe he's already alive and well, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is God, that is called God, or that is worship, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, this hasn't happened yet. This is futuristic. He says, do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Now listen to this line. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. That's us. He who restrains is the church. The Spirit-filled church. Now people have thought this was the Holy Spirit, but I tell you, the Spirit of God will not be removed on that day. Because the Bible says nobody can get saved without the Spirit of God drawing them. And people are going to be saved during the tribulation. The Spirit of God is going to be here. He may be in a little bit of a different way. I don't know that. There's lots I don't know. But I do know this. We are restraining what the devil wants to do on this earth. Just our mere presence. You're not excited like I'm excited. Whoa! Do you get this? The Bible says in John 10:10, Satan came to steal, kill, and destroy. That is what he wants more than anything. He wants to destroy your life. And you know who is standing up against him? You, the church, the Spirit-filled church, stands up and says, you're not having your way here. We have authority that we are not using. Wake up. Get up. Let's charge hell. Are you ready to go with me? I'm telling you, I'm ready to. You guys are looking at me like, oh, silly preacher. Yeah, all right. Thank you. We have a promise in Matthew 16, verse 18 and 19. It's right after Jesus asked his disciples and he says, who do you say I am? And Peter spoke up and he said, you're the Christ, Son of the living God. Then Jesus come with this line. He said, and I also say to you, that you are Peter. He was Simon, the reed. You are now Peter, the rock. And on this rock I'll build my church. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. He was not telling Peter that he is building his church on him. He is saying, Peter, I am going to build my church on the revelational knowledge of what you have just spoken, that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. The church of God is not built on Peter, it's built on Jesus. And he says this, the gates of hell, the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Do you realize how powerful this thing that we call church, are you catching it, how powerful it is? Now, the gates of Hades actually was a place in Israel. We actually, when Treva and I was there, we went to the place where they said they call this the gates of Hades. It's a place that looked like a cave, and they felt and they thought that demonic spirits exited and entered right there from that place. Doesn't really matter what they thought. What matters is what Jesus said. Hell cannot stand against the kingdom of God. Amen. Satan was not prepared, not equipped to overpower us. You get this? And he says, I give you the keys. Yeah. When someone gives you the keys, you have entrance. If I toss Treva my keys, and she caught him. Woo. She's improving. And I say, drive it like you stole it, right? It's yours. It's your. You get that? If I pitch you my keys, I've just given you my vehicle. It may be short term, it may be long term, but it's yours for the next little while. And Jesus said, I give you the keys to the kingdom. To the kingdom. You see, Jesus didn't just come preaching salvation. He came preaching a new way of life, the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. And if you'll seek him first, all these other things you need. Thank you. Got to take them keys back from that woman. She will drive it like you stole it. I promise you. We have authority that we do not comprehend. Jesus said, all authority is given to me. Jesus had all authority, and he passed it on to us. He said something so ridiculous. He says, you will do greater works than I have done. Ooh. If that doesn't bobble your head, something's wrong. I mean, that's just phenomenal, right? Greater works. You realize everything Christ did, I can do? Why? Because he is in us. It's about him, not about us. And he said, I'm giving you keys to the kingdom. And then he said this, you have the power to bind things and to loose things. I told you I got calls all week, but one call stirred my heart. A dear friend of mine called me, and he was crying on the phone because he had a friend that was not supposed to live. Somebody he works with, somebody he loves. He's got COVID, and one lung had collapsed. They were getting ready to put him on the machine. They put him on the ventilator, and the other lung collapsed. 51, 52 years old, had just married a couple weeks ago, and basically was going to become a father to two little boys who had never known a father. That touches my heart, always. And he was trying his best to compose himself, but he was overwhelmed with this need. And I told him, I said, I'll pray. And when I hung that phone up, I began to bombard heaven. You see, I believe that we pray, but we don't fight. And I believe I have come to tell you today that it's time we put our fighting clothes on. How do we war against the devil? It's through prayer. Prayer is the battleground. Prayer is where we battle. And I'm going to tell you, I started battling for this guy named Tim. And all of a sudden, the Lord brought this verse to me. You have the power to bind and to loose. And I started saying, Satan, I bind you from taking his life. I bind this sickness over you. You will not touch this man. You must deliver him. And I loose the power of God in his life. And the next day I got word, he's so much better. He's not out of the woods, but he's so much better. And the next day, he's better. One lung is back. The other lung is still, what do you call that? Not inflated, deflated or collapsed. But every day, a little stronger, a little stronger. Keep praying. Keep bombarding him. Don't relinquish what God has given us. I don't fully understand binding and loosing. I have to be totally honest with you. But Jesus said something. You see, when the disciples walked with Christ, they saw something in him that they said, will you teach us to pray? I don't think they were saying, teach us, now I lay me down to sleep. You know, they were saying, we want to pray like you pray. We have never met a man that prays like this. They were used to praying. People prayed all the time in the synagogues, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, all those people prayed. But something about the way Jesus prayed, they said, can you teach me to do that? He says, as it is in heaven, let it be on earth. I believe that line and binding and loosing go together. Father, there's no sickness in heaven. So I bind this wicked disease. I am so sick of the church laying down and letting Satan roll over us with a pandemic that we think we can't do anything about. But if we get a hold of the horns of the altar, I think we might see something reverse. One of Treva's brothers was going through a point in his life where he's getting ready to make a major decision that was not good. Treva's dad, he told me, he said, I'm going to go to church and I'm going to pray and I'm not coming home until I got the victory. For that kind of determination, guys. Amen. When's the last time you said, I'm going to pray and I'm not getting up until I feel the release of the Spirit of God? You know, sometimes prayer is not pretty. Sometimes prayer is downright nasty. And when you pray like what I'm telling you to pray, it will be exhausting. You won't pray this way every time. I was reading a book that Peggy gave me. I love this expression. He says we need to bear down in prayer. And he brought this illustration. I can relate this so good to you because it's exactly the same words that the nurse told Treva when she was having our son. See, there's a time, Treva had all three of our kids natural. This woman is a hoss. I'm telling you, she is so powerful. I promise you, she's the strongest woman I know. I don't care how sick she gets, it never gets her down. She's got remarkable strength. But when she was having our children, there would come a point where the nurse would look her in the eye and say, Treva, bear down on this one. And that's what I feel like my message is to you. Folks, it's time to bear down. Let's push this one out. That's what she's saying. It's time to birth this child. Let's get him out of you. Bear down. Well, I think I've come to tell you it's time for the church to bear down in prayer. Let's get rid of some of this garbage that we're messing with. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We're going to accomplish his mission, first of all, by keeping the unity. A If I have noticed one thing today that's happening in the earth, Satan is moving to disunify us in every way. He is turning us against each other. We're standing in judgment and speaking stuff that we ought not speak. He is trying. You see, if a lion is after a herd of antelope, the very first thing he does is try to isolate one. Get it away from the pack. It's exactly what he's doing with the church. He's trying to get us isolated, trying to break us up. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. Paul said, I plead with you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. There ought be no division in us. And I'm not talking about this house. I'm talking about the church. It's time we lock arms with people that may not totally agree with you. They may not agree with speaking in tongues, but it ought not divide us any longer. We need to join arms with them. Number one is we need to keep the unity. Number two, we better understand that the mission of God, what it's about. Romans 14, 17 says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. We must be fully devoted. Hebrews 11, 6 says, without faith it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We need to be diligent. Number four is we must be weaponized with the power of God. We must be weaponized with the power of God. Matthew 21, verse 13, Jesus said this, my house will be called the house of prayer. Folks, if there is one distinguishing mark upon this church, Bridge of Hope, let it be said, those people know how to pray. That is who we are. Not just Bridge of Hope, but the entire church should be. You know, my kids are, it seems like one of them's always looking for a church. And they often remark, well, we went to a service and they never prayed. I said, wrong church. Go to another one. Wrong church. Don't go to a church that doesn't pray. But if we have a picnic, we'll have 100 people there. If I have a prayer meeting, I'll have 10. We have got to change some things. If you only understood the times, if you could understand, if we could open our eyes spiritually and we could see all the demonic stuff that's going on in the world, if I called a prayer meeting, everyone would be there. Because all of a sudden you would begin to feel the urgency. I must pray. James 5, 15, we quote this a lot. The prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise him up. If he's committed any sins, he'll be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The last line, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That does not mean a loud, obnoxious prayer. If I am praying it, it's probably going to be loud and obnoxious. It's who I am. But you may not pray that way. That doesn't mean it's less anointed. Am I getting my point across? A fervent prayer is a glowing prayer. It's a prayer that's coming from the very depths of your heart that you believe with all. Now, I have seen some very refined woman grab hold of... I'm getting Christianese. Grab hold of the horns of the altar. If you're old Pentecost, you understand that. If you've been saved in the last 10 years, you're saying, what is the horns of the altar? Just an old saying that we have. But in the Old Testament, they literally had horns on the altar. And they would grab hold of them. I'm just saying we better find an altar and we better lay hold of it. We've sort of lost our fight. Anybody feel that? We have become so complacent. Even now, as I am preaching as hard as I can preach, I feel like I'm boring some of you. And it scares me. See, I don't know. What is it going to take to wake you up? Here's what I hope it doesn't take. I hope it doesn't take the sound of a trumpet. Because when that trumpet sounds, it's too late for you. Oh, you can maybe still go to heaven, but it's going to cost you your life. Folks, I promise you, I'm not trying to scare you, but I am trying to stir you. I remember when I was a little kid, I said this, I'd rather be shaken than baked. You remember that was when the shake and bake commercial? I'd rather be shaken as baked. I don't want any of you to bake, but I don't mind you being shaken a little bit. I believe God wants to shake us. I believe God is shaking the church. For the last year and a half, I believe God's been shaking the church. Saying, wake up. We're close. We're close. And you're not doing your part. That sounds like a judgment on my part, but I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to us. Okay? I'm talking to us. I include myself in this. 2 Timothy chapter 2, he says, therefore I exhort you, first of all, that supplication, prayer, intercession, those are all different kinds of prayers, and giving of thanks, another type of prayer, be made for all men, for the kings who are in authority. In other words, quit talking about President Biden and start praying for him, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. Christians, we are quickly becoming the problem in America, according to everyone in this world. I promise you I'm right. I promise you people are looking at you and saying those stinking Christians, they won't get vaccinated. They won't wear masks. They're just obstinate. Soon and very soon, they're going to lose their toleration of us. And he says, pray for those in authority that you can lead a quiet life. I will prophesy this. I think our quiet life is over. I think for the rest of life that we know, it's going to be a battle. It's going to be a war. And you better know how to pray. So I didn't come to tell you to pray. I told you to come to pray, pray. You better find that intense prayer. You better know how to get a hold of God. Every time my phone calls and says, Pastor, pray. I always think, yes, absolutely, I will. But the second thought is, you too. You know, the truth of the matter is, now I'm not trying to talk myself out of a job, but you don't need me. Hear me? You don't need me. I'm not the one who stands between you and Christ. Jesus is the one that stands between you and God. You have everything you need in Christ Jesus, not in a preacher. Now, I appreciate you keeping me around. And I love what I do. I love the fact that I can pray for you. Let's go on with this sentence. He says that we may lead quiet and peaceful lives in all godliness and reverence, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, the Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. How are they going to do that? Unless somebody tells them. How beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel. That's more than preachers. That's you. Ephesians 6 tells us that we need to take up the armor of God. And 2 Corinthians 10:4 says that the weapons of God are not carnal, but they're mighty in God through the pulling down of strongholds. What's he talking about? He's talking about you praying. I promise you, if you quit talking about your problems, if you quit talking about people that bug you and start praying for them, God will change things. We are living in a church that has forgotten to pray. I'm sorry. It reminds me a whole lot of Bible times when we have very pharisaical prayers. you know, it sort of bothers me that you just sit and listen to me when I pray. Don't listen to me pray. You pray too. When I pray, you ought to be praying too. Now, here's what happens when I'm praying and Courtney's praying. I hear Courtney praying and he says something. I think, oh, yeah, go, yes, me too, Jesus. We ought to, does that make sense? We ought to spur each other up. I'm getting excited listening to you pray, so I pray more. Now, here's what I'm not saying. You need to pray 15 minutes every day. That's nonsense. That's anti-scriptural. The Bible says pray without ceasing. Here's what I will say. Make an appointment with God and keep it every day of your life. Pray, pray, pray. And there is no time like morning time. You need to get up 15 minutes early or 30 minutes early and start with prayer every day. Here's another thing. Sorry about the cameras, guys. Just because I'm a pastor and I pray for you doesn't exempt me from praying for me. Do you know God has put every one of us in a place of authority? We got Chris back there, who's principal of the school, and I thank God that we got a godly man as a principal over that school. But with that position, do you realize he has a chance to influence every child that goes to school there? And how does he do it? By praying for him. By every day when he goes into work, Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that you are Lord over this school. He is limited in many, many ways. But God has a way of breaking the limits, right? Breaking out of those strongholds and allowing him to be a godly man. And aren't you thankful that when you send your kindergartners, there's a man like that over your kindergartner? Man, I love that. I wish that we had a Christian over every, and maybe we do, but over every schoolhouse in this place. I think about Ricky Watson. He's our chief of police. When Treva took the job with the county mayor, somebody prophesied over her and he said, I am putting you in the heart of the city to win the heart of the people. You see, your position is not just a mere position. It's your calling. It's where God has strategically placed you. Quit complaining. Pick up the mission of God. Maybe he'll move you. Maybe it's a temporary position and God will move you soon. But do what you're called to do now. It's a trick of the enemy to get us to do nothing but discouragement, and we just talk and complain about it all day. Are you getting me? We get so deep into us that we forget who we are. I am preaching so much better than you're looking at me. I got to finish. We need a lot of courage. In the last days, we need courage. Courage is not the absence of fear. Matter of fact, you're probably going to have to face fear. Courage is not the absence of fear. It's a reliance on the presence and the power of God in the face of fear. It's been lots of times when I've been afraid. What do? Jesus, help me. And you go on. I think of Nehemiah when he was facing the king. The king says, you're sad in my presence. Why are you sad in my presence? Could have cost him his head. And he told him why he was sad. He said, what are you asking me? And he said, I bowed my head and I said this silent prayer. And then I began to explain to the king. Have you ever done that? Oh, Jesus, help me. I feel like I'm facing the lion right now. Jesus, Goliath is in front of me. Jesus, give me the words. Give me right words. Give me the skill that I need to take this giant down. 1 Peter 2, verse 5 and 9 says, "You also, as living stones, are being built up." Now, isn't that interesting that Peter is the one that brings this picture of being a living stone, since his name means rock, right? Pebble. He says, "You're a living stone being built up, a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus." Where are those? How are those spiritual sacrifices coming? They're coming through prayer. Verse 9 says, "But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light." I got just a couple of more things I want to tell you. Number one, we will not quit. We cannot quit. We can't even rest at this point. Don't be weary in well-doing is what Galatians says. Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ, which gives me strength." Luke 18 says, "Those things that are impossible with man are possible with God." In Acts chapter 5, Gamaliel said to the Pharisees, he said, "If these disciples' work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it's of God and you overthrow it, lest you find yourself fighting against God, I come to tell you that what we're doing is of God. And the world can't beat us. We are overcomers. We are the triumphant church." Philippians 4:6 says, "Don't be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." How many of you feel like you just need to repent right now? Can I say it this way? God, we've dropped the ball, but I'm willing to pick it back up. Are you willing to pick it back up? You know, yesterday's sins mean nothing. You get me? They're under the blood. Yesterday, don't let Satan condemn you. This is not about condemnation. I'm not smacking you on the hand saying you hadn't been praying enough. I have come with a word of encouragement to say, get ready. Here it comes. I would have, you know, before we ever have a play, we always have play rehearsal. Right? That's what we've been doing. Every Saturday night, every Tuesday morning, every Tuesday afternoon, when the ladies get together, it's prayer rehearsal. Because there's coming a day very soon when it's going to be found out. Do you know how to pray? Amen. Will it carry you through? Some of you have been there from time to time. You ever had a wayward child? I don't know about you, but I pray this all the time. I will not go to heaven without my kids. I claim them for the kingdom. Devil, you can't have my kids. I get pretty serious about that one. But I get pretty serious about this one too. Lord, you can't have these people. If they come in this church, you can't have them. They're blood bought, spirit filled. I claim them for the kingdom. I expect to see every one of you. Actually, I expect that you'll welcome me in, because I'm going to live a long time. No, I'm t- It's the last couple of minutes of the ball game. Time to put the good players in. You are the good player. You get me? You're it. If we were running a relay race, you're the last leg. That's always the fastest guy. We are being passed the battalion of prayer. Finish strong. That's what I hear in my spirit. Finish strong. Bear down. we're about to give birth. Are you ready? Would you stand with me? Yeah.
As I sat and listened, my heart broke because I know there are some here that say, I would like to feel that excited and I would like to have that zeal. But there's so many layers that it's like peeling back an onion. And you peel it back and you got to peel it back and you got to peel it back. And there's a verse in Psalm 119 that says, I long for your salvation. In your heart, you really want to feel the urgency to pray. You really want to feel that. And it says, I long for your salvation, and I put my hope in your word. My eyes grow weary looking for what you've promised. I ask, when will you comfort me? Though I have become like a wineskin dried by smoke, I do not forget your statutes. You want to? Yes, I want to feel excited. I want to be a person of prayer. I want to believe for everything. You know, the Lord says He makes our enemies our footstool. Under our feet, He makes the enemies our footstool. But you've got so much else on top of you. So many layers of bitterness, of hurt, of anger, of fear. Down there you long for it and you want, but it's buried. And I want you today, I really would like for just to take a minute. It's a couple of minutes. If that's you, if it's buried down there and you really want to just say, Lord, please open up my heart today to be that person of prayer. Can you just come forward and let's just say a group prayer? Can we do that?
Absolutely.
Can we do that as I sing, You are here.
I worship you. I worship you.
And you are here working in us place.
I worship you.
I worship you. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Jesus. And you are here,
touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you.
Yes, you are here, healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you.
Anybody else want to come down?
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You're the waymaker. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. And you are here.
Savior, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Oh, open our hearts today, Lord. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Jesus. Oh God, open our hearts today, Lord. Peel back everything, Lord, that's not of you. God, we cry to you. To you, Lord. God, we don't need a preacher to pray over us. God, we have straight access to you, straight to the throne. God, we lift our voice to you. Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that you make a way.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you, that is who you are, who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who. Oh, you keep your promises, Lord, you keep them all. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. Oh, I cry to you, I cry to you, you are my God. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. Oh, my God, that is who you are. Oh, I cry to you. Promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. And you are here, touching every heart. I worship you, I worship you. Yes, you are. Promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Oh, touch his heart, touch our hearts, Lord. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Even when I see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. You make a way. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. 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 That is who you are.
If you receive this message through ears of condemnation, that was not its intent. I don't want any one of you to leave feeling like you've been beat up. I want you to know I've brought this to you because I'm trying to prepare you. It's a preparation for what's coming. We need to learn to pray. Not just pray, but battle. Battle and bear in prayer. Bear down. Amen. God bless you, folks.
Raise your hand. Receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you and may He keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. With nothing missing and nothing broken, now go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless.